John 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never read? Learn. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goest about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man? If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But, lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Every man went unto his own house. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Write it upon your heart today. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we bring the message of the gospel to you today. Now, the text we're looking at is John 7:37, where Jesus said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Thirst is a terrible thing. Real thirst, in long-enduring thirst, is a killer. The body can go a considerable time without solid food, but not without liquid, not without that water, that elixir of life. Water equals life. Our whole bodies are a high percentage of water. And it is that water that we crave for our physical life. Now, the Lord Jesus takes that extremity, that dire need of our bodies, and he uses it also for our soul's thirst, our spiritual need. And if any man's soul is empty, if there's a craving to know God, to be right with God, or to be free from the guilt of sin, then there is this invitation. Jesus said, Come unto me. And here is the Lord standing out in the crowd. He's not pointing people to Judaism. He's not pointing people to some religious institution. He is calling them to trust and rest in him. And that's the gospel. Christianity is a person. It is a relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And I invite you to stay tuned with us, hear the message today, and we pray the Lord will save you and give you this blessing of soul salvation. I want you to notice the wideness of this cry and invitation, If any man thirst. Here's a word for everyone in that crowd. And the Lord was dealing with individuals, if anyone. Now, the Jews were rabidly obsessed in excluding Gentiles and anyone else that were not of their tribe or of their lineage. They took delight in excluding, but Christ invited all in that cry that he made. And he announced the good news of the gospel to all. And of course, when we get to the book of Revelation, we find that the church is made up of every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. The church is international. The church is for all who will come. Christ invites all to come right unto him. And so we have a message here today for the despairing. No matter what your background, no matter what has led you to the point of despair and emptiness, Jesus, the Son of God, invites you to receive life, spiritual life, from him. Now, I want us to look at the claims within the Lord's invitation to drink of him. Because in this statement, in this text, John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, in that invitation, there are a number of claims that the Lord is making. There is the claim of personal fellowship. Let him come unto me and drink. How different from the Jewish historical traditional way. He did not speak of ordinances. He did not speak of baptism. He did not speak of confirmation. He did not speak of any other rite or ceremony. He said, come unto me. And it's not until we understand that Christianity is personal relationship, fellowship with the Lord Jesus, that we get this water of life in our souls. If you are just stopping at the church, if you're stopping at some ceremony of the church or some attachment or external thing related to some form of Christianity, you have not yet come to the water to receive of the life. And here is the great genius of Christianity. Christianity is not a system, it is Christ himself. And he invites you to come personally, to enter into his life. God sent his Son into the world to save sinners, to save you, to give you this life. Never let anyone deceive you that you need anything other than the Lord Jesus as your Savior to save your soul. Never put up a prop or some obstacle between you and the Savior. No pastor, no priest, no church, no denomination, nothing but your own personal faith and relationship joined to the Lord Jesus. And then the water flows. Then new life comes into your heart. So maybe there's someone here today and you've stopped short. Yes, you are somewhat a Christian in the sense that you are under that umbrella. Yes, you have gone through certain church rites, but you've never personally come into the heart and into the very fellowship of the Son. And remember what John said, that our fellowship with the Father is through the Son. Now, it was also a claim of personal satisfaction. And we come to that little statement, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And again, let's disperse with the seeming crudeness of the term. I don't think that you would speak that way if you were evangelizing and talking to a friend, you know, and point to their stomach and say, out of your stomach or belly will flow rivers of living water. But again, it's the inner, internal heart, soul experience the Lord is referring to. Man has a conscience. Man has emotions, memory, a thought life, intelligence, powers to reason. And it's that soulish, it is that spiritual inner nature that the Lord is addressing. And the thing that must grip our hearts here is that the Lord offers abundant fullness of life. He calls it rivers of living water. Living water. And of course, living water It means running water, water that is not stagnant, water that is fresh. It's pure, it's life-giving, it is personal joy, and it has power to overflow in blessing to others out of your life. Now, that's the claim, that's the offer which the Lord made to his people. Now, in that claim, you will see in verse 39 that it was to send the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Because this is just so helpful here. You'll see that verse 39 is totally in parentheses. It's in brackets. It's as if someone had come in here with a comment, and it's not man's comment. It is the Word of God itself. And there's a comment right on this in verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, uppercase S, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Not yet given as in Pentecost. Now, there were Old Testament believers who were Spirit-filled, and every believer in the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit, but there was a fullness coming in the New Testament that would mightily supersede all. Now, here's a claim to send the Holy Spirit into our hearts, to give us a new life. This is like rebooting. You know what happens when your computer gets all messed up. And you don't know what's wrong with it. You don't know how to fix it. You don't know what you did wrong. And so the easiest thing is to just shut it all down, cut the power for a while, and then reboot. You see, sin has messed us up. The software in us, our thinking, our programming is sinful. It's broken. It's corrupted. And we will never please God in the flesh. The flesh cannot please God. The old nature cannot please God. And so we need to be reset. And it is this miracle of the Holy Spirit coming and giving us a new nature. Not renovating the old, a new nature. A completely new nature. A nature we never had before. A life that we never had before. A fullness that we never knew before. It is the life of God in our souls. And the whole promise of the gospel is, a new spirit will I give you, and a new heart will I put within you. I will write upon the law upon your heart. Now, this ministry of the Holy Spirit is amazing. If you're a Christian here today, you know what I'm talking about. You sense and experience, you walk and you talk in the blessedness of the life of the Spirit in your soul. In Romans 5, let's go back to that. I may not finish this sermon today, but I want to preach Romans 5 here. Romans 5 and verse 5, and you'll find that this ministry of the Spirit is so definite, personal, and we can dissect it here. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it's a gift. You can't work it up. You can pray for it, but you can't work it up. Doesn't matter if you dance. Doesn't matter if you sing for a week. Doesn't matter if you shout at the top of your voice. All of those things, fleshly things, do not work the Holy Spirit in your life. It comes on your knees. It comes when you surrender. It comes when you cease from self. And this ministry of the Spirit is given. And you'll notice that it is the love of God shed, operating abroad in our hearts. That is the ministry of this new life, which the Lord uses the analogy of living water flowing out of your inner being. Now, here in Romans 5, you'll notice, if you just go back to verse 1, that the work of the Spirit is to impress the enjoyment of justification by faith. The Holy Spirit's work is to magnify, clarify, and impress on you your justification by faith. And that needs to be done nearly every hour of every day. Because every one of us would slide back to works. Every one of us would go back to our own performance for peace with God. No, our peace with God is on the basis of justification, the death of Christ, His sacrifice, His blood applied to our hearts. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the ministry of the Spirit, to impress that upon our hearts constantly. I had a lady call me after the program last night, and she was dealing with lack of assurance, and I impressed on her the need to get her heart fixed on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And Christians always get in trouble when they stop looking to the objective finished work of the cross. When you start looking at yourself, you start looking at maybe the mess you're in, maybe the trials that have come upon you, and you focus so much on them, you lose sight of your justification by faith alone. Then also we are filled with hope. If you look at verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's why the Spirit ministers joy. That's why Jesus said, "My joy I give unto you." The Christian is to have this joy, the joy of hope. The Christian must never lose sight of our hope that we have in Christ. Think of Psalm 46, "Though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the sea, God is with us." That is the statement of the Christian. In the good days and the bad days, in the blessings and in the persecutions of life, we have this hope, and the hope comes from within. Not your bank account, not your gross net income, not how the stock market is doing. This hope comes from within your soul. It is the ministry of the Spirit within. Rivers of living water. What an amazing picture of abundance. Now, Canada has some of the most amazing rivers in all the world. Maybe we'll exclude the Amazon. Let's rule that one out. But Canada has some of the longest, largest rivers in the world. You think of the Fraser that flows out here at Vancouver. Starts at Mount Robson. It drains millions of square miles, and it constantly flows. Have you ever seen the Fraser dry? Have you ever seen it running low? Yeah, it gets lower in dry seasons, but it never stops. And the Lord promises to every Christian that out of your inner life will flow rivers. Not just one river, but rivers. He's emphasizing this. Rivers of living water. And it's like what we learned last week, that the Christian life regeneration is irreversible. You're not saved today, lost tomorrow. You are saved for all eternity. Having loved his own, he loves them to the end. That's the gospel that we take great delight in. A few final points I'm not going to preach, and that is the criteria. What do we need to have for this? Soul thirst. We need to come to the Lord, and we need to believe in the Lord. It's as simple as that. Don't think that you need a PhD, nor some theological title, or that you have to go through some religious course. You just come to Jesus. You confess your thirst, that you're empty, burdened, acknowledge your need, and believe. Believe. They that believe. To put your faith in the Lord, it's like putting your faith in a bridge. How many people drove over a bridge coming to church this morning? Probably a number. And you drove over that in faith. How many people stepped into an elevator this week? That's an act of faith, but you have to get into the elevator. You have to get into it for it to carry you up. Or put in your faith in an aircraft. No point in looking out the airport window and saying, "My, that's a marvelous machine," if you're not willing to walk the walk and get into the aircraft and buckle up and wait for takeoff. You have to get in. And if you are going to enjoy new life in Christ, this inner life flowing with life, you need to come to the Lord Jesus. I want to close with a quote from W.E. Gladstone. He was 3 times Prime Minister of Britain in the 1800s. And he said, "If I am asked what is the remedy for the deeper sorrows of the human heart, what a man should chiefly look to in progress through life as the power that is to sustain him and enable him manfully to confront his afflictions, I must point to something that is called the old, old story told in an old, old book and taught in an old, old teaching, which is the greatest and best gift ever given to mankind. Talk about the questions of the day. There is but one question, and that is the gospel. It can and will correct everything that needs correction. My only hope for the world is bringing the human mind into contact with divine revelation." There's hope for you today. You can be a new creature, a new person in Christ Jesus, because he came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. There is hope for Canada. There's hope for a generation that is filled with such despair. We need to take this news of the gospel and tell the world, Jesus saves. So, what about it? Will you seek the Lord that you might be a new creature, a new creation, born of the Spirit and brought into the family of God? The alternative, of course, is unthinkable. To live in your sin, to die in your sin, to spend all eternity in the misery of rebellion to God, in the flames of hellfire. Or you can turn to the Savior, who at the cross of Calvary endured hell for his people. And if you run to Christ, he gives you eternal life. And if you are thirsting for salvation, peace with God, here is your invitation. But you must come, and you must come personally, and you must come as the Spirit of God strives with you. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email. Let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through his word.